stories need to be practiced, even when they're our own story. And I think most of us don't imagine that, but a story is a form of art, as I see it. It's not real life. It's not just a recitation of my day. It's formed, it's polished through practice out loud.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. Today's conversation is going to be all around how to give a better presentation through storytelling, and we're going to be breaking that down for you today. Sometimes public speaking is not everybody's forte, and not everybody's always excited about it, but no matter if you're presenting in a boardroom in front of a couple of folks, or if you are presenting on a stage in front of several hundred people, a way to interact with them is to provide a compelling story. We're going to be talking about that today with Laura, and it's going to be a blast. She's from Chicago. She likes Chicago pizza. I mean, we can connect on that for sure. But before we get into the conversation, I want to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already. We've got all kinds of episodes for you available. And we also have a brand new episode every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We don't want you to miss a single one of them. So the best way to do that is to subscribe. A few facts about the subscription is, number one, it's free. Number two, it's also free. And three, it's shareable. And if you share it with somebody, you get your subscription for free. It's an amazing offer for you. So make sure you do that. Subscribe before you go any further. Whatever platform that you're on, make sure you hit the button. And if you want the video version of this, you can check it out on YouTube or Facebook. Just search for LOCDOC and you'll find us there. Now, grab a cup of coffee. Get ready to learn how to tell better stories with Laura Lewis Barr.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Oh, yeah. All right, Laura, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today. I'm really excited to chat with you. We're going to talk about storytelling, pizza, and Chicago. How about that?
All right. Love it.
So we know Ann Gruber from Chicago, and we were just chatting about pizza. It is on my list, and I'm just going to do it one day, is to just fly up to Chicago, eat all I can eat in pizza, and then just come back home and probably crash.
That's right. An exercise the next month.
Yeah, exactly.
That's heavy stuff.
Well, as part of the Coffee Break Podcast, we do rapid fire, 5 randomly selected questions just to get under your skin with unknown point values, and then we'll give you a score at the end. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. I know you're excited about this. Let's see. What is a question that people have recently been constantly asking you?
When is your next public speaking workshop?
Really? Well, that's a good question to be asking.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
How many of these do you do typically on a yearly basis?
Every other month, generally. So 6 a year. They're a 2-day workshop that transforms the way you speak. They're amazing in Chicago. And I can throw in some pizza if you want to come.
There we go. Oh, deal. All right.
I don't think you need it.
Question number 2. If you could have the attention of the world for just 1 minute, what would you say?
Your stories matter and people need to hear them.
Ah, all right. Question number 3. What song do you secretly sing in the shower?
Oh, no. Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma. Okay. I was a musical comedy student, so there we go.
All right. Let's see here. Question number 4. What is a situation that when you look back at it, you should have just gone ahead and done it?
Oh, man. Finish my PhD.
Ah, all right. That's a great answer. All right. And then lastly,
true answer.
Question number 5. What is the strangest way that you've met one of your friends?
Oh, no. Camping. Met somebody at a campground and we became friends after a camping trip. They were our neighbor.
Oh, wow. They were
our camping neighbors. Okay, but
you went on a camping trip and you just randomly met your neighbor.
No. met a camping neighbor who became a friend.
Very cool. All right. Well, congratulations. You made it through rapid fire. We'll give you a score of 644.
Aw, thank you. That makes my day.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. So I want to kind of get into the understanding of storytelling, how it matters in the realm of business. And one of the things that you said that was interesting is before we got started was a lot of times people don't understand exactly how to communicate a story and it just kind of drones on and on and on. Or it can kind of get confusing at times. So why is it important from a communication standpoint to be able to share it in a story form? Because really, at the end of the day, facts are facts. Like if I could just give you the facts, it is what it is, and you just do with it what you want to.
We know from research and brain scans that people take in stories in a totally different way than any other kind of fact. It's like our brains evolved with stories. So if I tell you a well-told story, your whole brain lights up, your vision centers, your auditory, tactile, all the parts of your brain, which is why stories are so memorable. And it's why when a president or a lawyer or somebody else seeks to persuade us in a speech, they use a story. They don't talk about the macro, but they talk about the micro because it lands in our brain differently. So that's the first part of the answer.
So give me an example of that because I'm trying to process it. When you say the macro, instead of the macro, get into the micro. Give me an example of how that would be applicable.
Well, any State of the Union address, when a president is trying to give us the State of the Union, talk about macro, he talks, or hopefully someday she talks about Mr. Smith or Miss Adams or whoever, talks about a person's experience in the country because our brains lock into a story of a person, not abstract 40,000 feet ideas. We understand those ideas, but the brain locks in differently. It becomes much more memorable and much more powerful. So if we want to hack into somebody's brain, using a story actually does that. It lights up the brain differently. It also builds empathy. So if I'm good at telling a story and I'm willing to share some obstacle I faced, I immediately connect with you. This is why you go to plays, movies, you read novels, you watch television, because you want that connection because our lives are hard. And when we connect through a novel or a play or something, we connect to somebody else going through something hard. Mm-hmm. So one of the mistakes people always make is they don't share the struggle. They skip the struggle. We've all been sort of conditioned in school to just show up as a fully formed thing that's all shiny and great. And then we don't connect with each other. And we're all in our own little bubbles struggling. But if we share the struggle, there's an instant connection. So I coach job seekers to share the struggle during an interview. Not only does it build a connection with the interviewer, but it also helps the interviewer know why this person is so great. Here's the struggle and here's how I solved it.
So in our world, I'm trying to process it from a real application here. So one of the things that we talk about a lot is that we help our customers protect their people and their property. A different way to communicate that, I guess, would be, you know, recently Bob contacted us and his building was having a major struggle because they got locked out of their key card system and the software was compromised and they had to fix this by the end of the month because they had a major visitor coming in play. And so our team was able to come in, resolve the situation, get their new software up and running, get them a new system that they could manage from anywhere rather than just from that old antiquated software.
Exactly. Salespeople and business owners telling stories like that, we immediately connect. And if we want to kind of heighten the dramatic effect, we give those details that show the value of what is at stake. You know, this is what dramatists do. So we can heighten some of these details to even heighten the story more. Make it powerful in a short time. Your story just now was 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have time to tell them.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting, even a thought and concept there is, I guess, initially, a story is like way too long. Let me just give you the facts and move on. But it doesn't have to be a lengthy story. It just has to have, I'm guessing, some certain elements that would engage people.
Exactly. Some key details that the audience cares about and the struggle. Story always has to have the struggle and then a resolution. And it could be a good resolution or a bad resolution. It could be a cautionary story. Here's with somebody who did it the wrong way. Don't be in their shoes. But the facts are in the story. In fact, statistics are just a bunch of stories that have been, the stories have been taken out.
Mm. So the elements, I'm just trying to jot down some notes here. So there's a struggle, what a conflict, and then a resolve. Is that kind of the method that you'd want to think through? Or what's a good way to kind of, what are the elements that we need to be checking off as we're trying to build a story?
Right. Well, the first thing I want people to know is a story that takes place in a particular time and place. So we're taking not an in general. I used to go fishing with my grandfather when I was little, but when I was 7, my grandfather and I went to Wisconsin Dells. That becomes a story because it's a particular time and place. Sometimes we'll have to skip to the most dramatic moment, but a little bit of context, a little bit of backstory, just so we know who and what we're doing, why we're hearing it, and then the struggle. And the struggle can be the struggle in our own heads. These don't have to be earth-shattering. It could be, I lost my car in the parking lot of the grocery store and what went through my head as I was searching for it. Mm-hmm. In fact, those stories are funny often. If we want to do comedy, we just put ourselves into our own head and we help people know that crazy thing that's happening as I'm looking for my car.
So what are some elements or some characteristics that you've typically seen in a really good storyteller versus ones that struggle to get the story across?
The willingness to take time for some juicy detail. I think good storytellers know that there is a certain amount of time. People want to hear it. So they don't rush through giving us a few details of the character or the setting, and certainly of the obstacle or struggle. I also personally love self-deprecating stories. I think they work really well and they build a lot of empathy and safety in a room. So the ability to sort of poke fun at ourselves is a great thing to do.
We understand the frustrations HOA board members and property managers face when deciding the best solution for their HOA and pool security. Should we use a keypad, hand out keys, or install a key card system? Do we even need cameras? These are some of the questions that are difficult to navigate, and we're here to help. At LockDock Security, we've spent over 20 years working with homeowners associations and property managers to find the system that best fits the pool and HOA needs. Camera systems for the front gate or front entrance, key card systems for the pool gates, or simply updating the gate so that it meets safety and code compliance. We like to take the guesswork out of the process to answer any questions and help find the right solution. Our mission is to help you protect your people and your property, and that includes pools. Contact our team today to schedule your free consultation for your community. So I was recently giving a presentation, and I tried to interject a little bit of a story. So I'll give it to you, and you can tell me things that I can do to improve it. How about that?
I'd love that.
Okay. So we were talking about the presentation was effectively trying to establish the value of community and the value of kind of peer groups. And so I walked back into March of 2020. So March 11th, 2020, our company was on a massive trajectory. We were headed for the best year ever in 2020. Mm. And as part of that, we had established a company run club. So at the end of the day, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock every day, we had a 3-mile loop around our building that we were running together. And we had collected multiple people in the organization. We were doing, it was a great time. We were really crushing it. March 14th. My wife sent me a message, a photograph of Costco. Costco didn't have any toilet paper, any paper towels, or any water. March 15th, I found myself sitting at my dining room table, jotting down a bunch of notes about some of the big decisions that our company was going to have to make because we were getting ready to face stay-home orders and have to apply for essential workers permits and be able to navigate kind of what the new normal was because all of our customers were going to be on stay-home, our buildings were going to be going on lockdown, and we were just trying to figure out how were we going to make those decisions. March 18th, we entered into our first all-virtual team meeting where we typically have everybody in a room together, but we went all virtual because we were trying to keep everybody as far apart as possible. And we basically told everybody that we were going to be okay. But during that time, I did not really feel like we were going to be okay. I was communicating that we were going to be okay because I wanted to make sure that we were all going towards a positive outcome. But at the end of the day, I was not quite sure exactly how we were going to be okay. Then on March the 20th, I tossed out an idea to all of my social platforms that we were getting ready to walk into something that we didn't really know what we were doing. And I was looking for small business leaders to come together and be able to share ideas so that we could navigate kind of a new, whatever this new normal was that we were going to be walking through. And then on March 23rd, we activated an entire community that worked together over the course of the next 2 years to navigate the tough kind of decisions that we all had to make as businesses.
Wow. First, I have to say that you're a natural storyteller. And part of that is because of the energy you bring when you communicate, just tempo and gesture and energy. In terms of story, if I were working on this story with you, I think the arc of the story is the world is imploding. What do I do? And how do I get the community to come together, to work together? And I thought, for me, the highlight of what you just shared was that inner monologue that you had. The running around, the Costco not having toilet paper, I would need to find a way to integrate that because it didn't seem to be as related to the arc of the story. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So making sure that you're identifying the arc of the story and then bringing all the validating components to build upon that.
Because I kept waiting for the toilet paper to come back into the story. Because that was a detail I wondered why was there.
Yeah.
So you probably don't want to do that in a story because the audience will wonder.
Sure. Because I guess based off of that, I'm assuming that there's natural context and understanding as to what that was related to, but I didn't close that loop.
Exactly. Why give that particular detail? And I think that growing dread of how are we going to navigate this new normal, for me, if I can get more, in fact, the toilet paper may be part of that growing dread. And maybe if it's told in that way, that, and to me, that starts to become comic it's like, oh no, all this stuff is coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Frame it that way. And that is self-deprecating as we're in your head as the anxiety is going up.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So then I guess from a perspective of our listeners and viewers that are watching this going, okay, so I'm starting to piece this together. How can I really apply this to the communication either inside of my business or towards potential customers? So what are some things, I guess, that I need to be really intentional about as I'm starting to communicate, or how do I get my team kind of on board with that?
You ask such good questions. So I think one thing to say from the beginning is stories need to be practiced, even when they're our own story. And I think most of us don't imagine that, but a story is a form of art, as I see it. It's not real life. It's not just a recitation of my day. It's formed, it's polished through practice out loud. We have to practice out loud because the mouth and the brain are different. And it just, if we just think about it, it's going to be more of a stumble. As we practice a story, more details generally come to light. In fact, once we start practicing and thinking about story, we will start seeing yummy stories in our life going, ooh, this little event that happened could be a funny story about ABC. And we'll start capturing those. Well, this happened with a client, or this story may help the client understand why we developed this product. We'll just start collecting and polishing, and then they get better and better. The stories are more well told because we recognize the detail that needs to be included and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going back to what you were saying earlier about the State of the Union address with and I think if we really started to put it together, there's a lot of those political stump speeches that that they ultimately end in with, little Johnny in rural Illinois, is trying to figure out how he's going to make his way from the schoolyard to afford to go to college, like. So they're basically kind of pulling those things together, all to validate whatever it is that they're trying to communicate or validate it, whatever it is that they're trying to promote. So thinking in those terms, and obviously it's been proven because they continue to do that time and time again, then bringing that back into in every aspect of our communication, we're saying, okay, well, this our team member here, and basically taking a story about somebody in our organization, elements that are real for them and true for them, and how it's applicable and how they're using kind of their background and their story to serve our customers is a way to be able to do that as well. This is just kind of bringing everything into real life application.
Exactly. When you do a PowerPoint presentation for a client and you have some well-told stories, at the end of that presentation, I bet money that they'll come to you and they will talk about those stories and they will remember those stories. They are, I said, a way to hack into the brain. They're a way to leave something in the brain of the customer that they won't forget. The better the story, the more it sinks in and is memorable. So they're worth working on. Statistics, we forget them almost immediately.
So when you do these workshops with folks, I'm trying to walk through this a little bit. You're obviously helping them to craft their skill in doing this. So what is an exercise that you typically do? We've got a few minutes here, so obviously we can't do an entire however many day workshop that you have. But is there an exercise that we can work through that would help our listeners or even me just kind of think outside the box a little bit and kind of hone that skill?
So a prompt that I really like is, tell me about something you learned the hard way, because it immediately is going to provide us with the obstacle, because that again is a hard thing for people to sometimes get comfortable talking about. And it can just reveal some really wonderful stories. They may be useful or not, but most of us remember those stories. And so that could be a useful prompt to begin to understand how to tell them. Did you want to tell a story?
Not particularly. No.
I don't believe you.
I'm sitting here going, what is something that I learned the hard way? Legitimately everything that I've ever learned, I've learned the hard way. So I'm trying to...
Exactly. It's the water we swim in. That's the problem with stories, is that sometimes we blank but the more we play with it, the more they come.
Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property.
I'll tell you a story about something I learned the hard way. And I think it also says it's a message about storytelling. I was teaching a theater class at San Francisco State University. I was a teaching assistant. Mm-hmm. And I was in an auditorium. All the students were underneath me. I was on stage. I was talking about Charlie Chaplin. You remember him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was terrified of public speaking, and I was just kind of willing my way through this class teaching about Charlie Chaplin. I was halfway through, about half an hour in or 40 minutes in. And I looked down, and one of the students pointed to her face. And I looked down at my hands, and they were covered with marker because I had been nervously playing with a marker. And I had been putting marker all over my face as I was presenting. So I was horrified and went through the rest of it, totally couldn't remember what I did. That PTSD sort of kicked in. I just plowed through, left without seeing my professor, and spent a long time feeling really bad about that event until I thought about Charlie Chaplin and what he was known for. That was his shtick. Mm-hmm. That was a Chaplin shtick. If I had gotten out of my perfectionism and been willing to be real in that moment, I could have been the most brilliant presenter in the world. Mm-hmm. What I learned the hard way, and what has been a game changer for me, is giving up perfectionism as a public speaker, embracing what's really happening in the room. And my students also find this to be a game changer. Perfectionism is what kills us as storytellers and as speakers. We got to let it go.
Mm. So on that note, because just coming off the edge of several of these conversations with people that are not always excited about public speaking. Like, I think that it's always an honor for somebody to get up in front of a crowd and say something, but not everybody is poised to do it all the time. And a lot of times people are nervous about it. What are some tips that you would give people to say, this is either my first time or I'm getting prepared to do this, and it's just something that I'm not comfortable with. It's not something that I necessarily enjoy, so I want to get better at it. But if I am nervous about public speaking, what's some of the advice that you give to people?
Right. So nervousness means you care, and we can channel that energy into being dynamic. So it's not getting rid of the nervousness. It's salt for the meal. And so recognize there's a value in that energy. Recognize that being on stage is about being a servant. Servant leadership can shift my mindset. And then, of course, this giving up perfection, embracing imperfection, and letting the audience know, the audience wants us to succeed, but they don't want an automaton robot perfect thing. They're fine with a little bit of hiccup. It's what makes public speaking so exciting. Mm-hmm. So those are some mindset. And then practicing, of course. It's amazing. I had a football player in one of my workshops, and at some point he said, you know, I never got it that I had to practice. I used to throw that ball, yeah. But I never practiced my presentations.
Yeah.
So it's the only thing we do in life where we think we can do it without practicing. It's crazy.
It's a small example, but I think it's very valid. I was actually speaking with someone in our organization the other day because they said that they were going to be doing something at a wedding, and they were asking like tips on how to communicate. And I said, well, this is my process for doing it is I will typically take and dictate out. I'll kind of speak out loud what I want to try to communicate and dictate it out on a document. And then that kind of gives me at least a framework to go back and almost edit. But I don't want to learn that script because I don't want to be too scripted. So I want to go in and take that information, and then I'll basically dissect it down into some bullet points that gives me the frame of what I want to communicate. From that, I try to basically recreate that storyline again or recreate that presentation again. And then I'll rearrange all the points because they're, you know, I'm typically thinking linear, but I don't want to communicate it, or I don't want to tell that same story in that same pattern. So I've got to be able to understand all the elements that I need to communicate and then reorganize them. And then from there, I never want to memorize what I want to say. I want to understand it. I want to be able to communicate it because I believe it and because it's something that I'm passionate about, not because I've memorized it in my head. Because if that's the case, then if I mess up, then I'm going to be much more detrimental because I'm going to be trying to remember where I'm at in this information that I tried to memorize. And so I guess that's what I'm hearing you say there, but the practice of that is a big component. It took me a long time to figure that out because I want to practice out loud and it's awkward and it's weird. You know, like I'm walking around pacing in my office, pretending like I'm presenting, but that's part of how you get better at it because you can get comfortable in the verbal communication.
Exactly. Brilliant. Everything you said, really, really, really good. And this aligning ourselves with our message, loving our message, is so key. And you're right. You can't do it unless you're working it. Got to work it. But the benefits are so profound. And once you do, you'll have that story forever. You'll have that presentation. You can reuse those things. You will.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can intertwine them in other areas and when you communicate them, but you've just kind of owned that conversation or owned that idea. And then you can communicate it wherever you're at. But the more that you do it, the more comfortable that you're doing it, the easier it is to get that story out there.
Yeah. And it gets easier and easier the next time you have to present or tell a different story. It's a skill that we build.
All right, Laura, if I'm somebody that I'm listening here and I'm like, hey, I really one dread presentations, I dread public speaking. I need to get better at it. I need some tips. What's the best way to connect up with you so that they can learn all of the magic around telling stories and communicating better?
Yay. Well, my website is training, the number 4, and breakthroughs, trainingforbreakthroughs.com. And June 2nd and 3rd, we have our amazing 2-day course in Chicago. Come have pizza afterwards. It's a really powerful Thursday and Friday that changes people's lives. It's amazing. And so that's public speaking. I also work with people looking for jobs or promotions. I do that online and help people tell their stories better, communicate better to the people that matter to them.
All right, trainingforbreakthroughs.com, the way to check it out and get there, get more information, and maybe attend one of your seminars. How about that?
I would love that.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today. It was a blast chatting with you. Laura, thank you again for your time today. It was a blast chatting with you. Again, if you want to find out more information, it's trainingforbreakthroughs.com. She's got lots of information there, some blogs, all kinds of fun stuff for you to check out. And obviously, you can find out more about her classes as well. If you haven't already, subscribe. New episode is coming out next Tuesday morning at 9 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Easy for me to say. Make sure you're there and subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Coffee Break Podcast.